What's he listening to?
The Young God Podcast.
Before we begin, let's take a deep breath to center ourselves in this moment. In through the nose, out through the mouth. Let's begin. Hey, God gang, not to be dramatic, but today is my birthday. Yeah.
Yo, this shit is unbelievable.
It really is. This birthday is particularly special. For starters, I was born on a Friday, and this birthday happens to fall on a Friday. The last time that happened was 4 years ago, in 2019. And exactly 30 days later, The Young God debuted. The synchronicity is spiritual. That's how I know that whatever I say on this day will hit home and away. The other reason this episode is special is because in the 5 years since I've been doing The Young God, never has my birthday coincided with an episode drop. What are the odds? If this isn't a sign, I don't know what is. Second, I turned 33 years old, which for me is a very significant age. Jesus Christ died at the age of 33. And guess what? An intrusive thought just crept in. What if this is the year I die? I can't lie. That would be a bummer. Because frankly, I'm not ready to die. I'm not. My goal is to die empty, and I am far from empty. So help me God. But then again, maybe my death isn't physical. What if this new age signifies the death of an old self, an old life, followed by a rebirth, a resurrection, if you will? Just like Christ. The only reason I'm entertaining this train of thought is because Jesus' ministry, as recorded in the Bible, lasted 3 years. And for me, the last 3 years have been some of the most pressurized, productive, and prolific of my short life. 3 years ago, I made the bold decision to commit to this podcast game and be the best podcaster I can possibly be. Since then, I've been through the fire, becoming more refined as a person and as a podcaster in the process. That's why I'm not ready to die. I feel like I'm entering my second prime, and I got like 5 more primes left in me. So help me God. This is all very poetic to me. I mean, last week was Good Friday. Jesus died on Good Friday. And here I am, contemplating my death. You may be thinking, is this guy really comparing himself to Jesus Christ right now? Yes. Yes, I am. Isn't that the entire point? To be like Christ? To be perfect as my Heavenly Father is perfect? I don't know about you, but that's my standard. See, that's the thing. Y'all compare your flaws with the imagined greater flaws of others instead of God's infinite perfections. Ye of little faith and misplaced priorities. You know, this is one of the reasons some people don't like me. They hate my guts. They hate that I speak this way. They hate that I say I am a God. That I compare myself with Jesus. That I speak with such self-assuredness. They call me cocky, arrogant. But you know what they hate the most? They hate that I get away with it. They hate that it looks good on me. That I might actually be right. They can't stand me, and I can't blame them. If I were them, I would hate me too. And that is yet another thing I have in common with Jesus Christ. Being misunderstood. If anyone understands how I feel, it's Jesus Christ. Some would say he was the most misunderstood man in history. He was killed on Good Friday because of it. All because he spoke his truth, which turned out to be the truth. This soulful song now playing is called Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood by Nina Simone, released in 1964. Being misunderstood is so real. It is a feeling that has defined me. It has been the story of my life for as long as I can remember. A chip on my shoulder, a cross I've carried. See what I did there? Since childhood, I've had to defend my right to be me. I don't know, I just felt like maybe my 33rd birthday is a good time to open up about my experience of being misunderstood. From being bothered by it, to accepting it, to navigating it, while resisting the social pressure to conform. And then finally, learning to use it to my advantage. I have serious words, fam. It's my birthday, so I'm gonna permit myself to be a little unhinged. This is personal. There will be insights, there will be evidence, and there will be feelings. You'll hear two friends of mine, women whom I hold in high regard, having an unexpected and insightful conversation about their experience of me and how people perceive me. It's the realest thing you'll ever hear. So give me 30 minutes and I will show you how to deal with being misunderstood. Listen, learn, and live vicariously through me. My name is Rodney Omokache, and you are welcome to The Young God, a podcast for gods.
Yeah. Stand back, gotta talk. Watch calls.
He's able to say that about himself.
He will balance it out with extreme humility on the other end.
So he licks his ego like this before he opens his mouth to talk. Mm. And then he'll now still come down to your level and still tell you, I am sorry. And actually mean it. I'm just like, see me, I don't like what you're doing. I don't like.
The day I said I am a god out loud, I made myself a target of misunderstanding and malice. It was a shock to the sensibilities of a mostly conservative society. It rubbed people the wrong way. It was an insult to the religious and an injury to the insecure. I still contend with the consequences of that decision to this day. And it's not like I said I'm better than anybody, but somehow people made it about them. It doesn't help that on a normal day, everything about me, the way I look, speak, dress, think, even my opinion of God makes me a canvas for the projections of others. Adding the God component to it just solidified the misconception that I am arrogant, disrespectful, and a troublemaker. And as if that wasn't enough, I went and made a podcast about it. And for 5 years, 6 seasons, and over 200 episodes, I have unapologetically proclaimed my godhood. The audacity of this black man.
Yes!
Another reason people misunderstand me is because I'm a winner, and there's no sympathy for winners. And I don't mean winner in the obvious sense. I embody a sense of freedom that most people envy or think I don't have a right to have. My freedom comes from the fact that I don't have a boss that can fire me, an academic association that can shun me, or belong to a church that can judge me. I'm not a status seeker. They don't have anything I want. The only thing I answer to is God, and He approves of my lifestyle. That's the win. I'm what you get when the need for approval and status seeking has been extinguished. And it's all about having fun. I don't take myself too seriously, but people seem to take me very seriously. It's weird. I know what I am, who I am beyond my job, title, education, last name, race, and gender. I don't get my kicks from man-made labels. My flex is spiritual, and it scares people. All I can say is, if you hate me now, wait until I get the material things in addition to my spiritual flex.
Bust my brain!
Y'all will be big mad.
Bust my fucking brain!
I'll say it again. There's no sympathy for winners. Society has this perverse knack for loving things that are damaged and humbling those that are strong and secure because it makes them feel better about themselves. Some people don't like me because my strength reminds them of their weakness. That's maybe my favorite thing. I quite like that I have that effect on people. They project false narratives onto me without realizing that I am a mirror, a reflection of what they avoid in themselves, what they don't like about themselves, and most importantly, what they want the most but can never get. My self-love is poison to hateful people.
Like when I hear people's opinions of Rodney, I'm just like, you don't like him because you don't understand him. Yeah, like,
because
each time
he gives off an arrogance
to people's opinions of Rodney.
Yeah.
They don't like him, and when you listen to why, it's because they don't understand him. They think they do.
It's not just that people misunderstand me. There are people that straight up don't like me. They hate my guts. I hear the whispers. It always gets back to me. And whenever I hear that someone doesn't like me, it makes me really sad for them. Do you know how unfortunate it is for you to have never met me and decide you don't like me? It's even worse if you have actually met me and you still don't like me. Look at me. I'm delightful, sociable, a good time. I'm an open book. So if you don't like me, you either don't have taste or you are very insecure. In either case, take that up with your therapist.
Understand niggas is gonna hate you regardless. Get that out of your head, that fantasy world where niggas ain't hating on you. You gotta be grateful. You need haters. What the fuck is you complaining about? What the fuck do you think a hater's job is? To fucking hate. So let them motherfuckers do their goddamn job. What the fuck is you complaining about? Ladies, if you got 14 women hating on you, you need to figure out how the fuck to get to 16 before the summer get here. Fellas, if you got 20 haters, you need 40 of them motherfuckers. What is you complaining about? If there's any haters in here right now that don't have nobody to hate on, feel free to hate on me.
Very recently, someone told me that there are people who detest me. Detest. That's the exact word they used. The dictionary defines detest as feeling intense loathing and a strong feeling of dislike towards something or someone. I was concerned. I was curious. I asked the messenger for an explanation. Why do they detest me? What did I do? According to the messenger, they listened to my podcast and they didn't like the way I talked. My cockiness was the culprit. I was like, oh, okay, I can live with that. Because initially, when I heard the word detest, I was worried that they knew me personally, that I had done something to them or someone they knew. Maybe an apology was due. Turns out the real crime is that they just have poor taste. I can't apologize for that. Sorry, not sorry. These people don't know me and have never met me. And yet, they feel so strongly about me. It's interesting how people judge self-expression. Mostly, we think that a self-expressive person is egotistical. That may be true, but what about someone who refrains from expressing themselves to protect their ego from getting bruised? So it's like, if you keep silent, they will say silence is support. If you're outspoken, they will say you're opinionated. Even the soft-spoken is called shy. You can't win. Better to pick a lane and run it. I have a confession, by the way. I am very wary of the people, the messengers, who tell me what others say about me. Because it's like, don't tell me what they said about me. Tell me what they feel comfortable telling you.
That's right, I said it.
There are many ways to interpret that, but I don't overthink it. I just observe. Everything will reveal itself in time.
Now, one of the services you provide is giving people something to talk about. Let them talk. It makes them happy. It makes them feel good. They don't believe half the shit they say. People want to talk. Yeah.
God gang, can I have your attention, please? As you already know, today's my birthday, and the show's anniversary is a month away. If you're feeling generous, you can show your appreciation with some funds. Let's call it the Young God Fund. It will all go to a grand anniversary celebration later this year. If you want to see that happen, please consider supporting. There's a Paystack link in the show notes. Whatever you're comfortable with, it will go a long way. Thanks a lot. Now let's get back to the show.
He doesn't have any inner hot child.
We're used to foolish Nigerian men, is why.
That one on a level, but also ourselves.
That's what I'm just saying. Like, we're used to egoistic Nigerian men, is why when we experience that, it's almost like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
How are you aware? What is this balance that says you're fake? As in, that's the first thing, we're just like, you're fake. Like, no.
These women, these friends of mine, are incredibly perceptive. They are reading me like the open book that I am. They are spot on. It's funny because as a child, I was criticized by my teachers for writing in my own words and thinking for myself. My hyper energy was frowned upon. I was small, so I was easy to pick on. The school girls didn't want anything to do with me. My parents were endlessly frustrated by my eccentricities. How does the inner child survive when your strengths are called weaknesses? It's like people saw me walking on water and criticized me for not being able to swim.
Yo, run that back. Run that back.
People saw me walking on water and criticized me for not being able to swim. And yet, somehow, my inner child survived. Bro is healthy and happy. He's just happy to be here. I guess, despite it all, I've always been surrounded by love all my life. As much as people misunderstand me, there are those who get me. I always found my people, those who love me for the same things that others detest me for. It's a weird place to be in, but I'm here for it.
You never see a kid who was abused with that kind of confidence, or a kid who was neglected with that kind of confidence. Just sometimes knowing that somebody cares inspires you and empowers you to be courageous.
Anybody can stomach being misunderstood every now and then for like an opinion or a singular act. But being misunderstood as a person, for being different, for being who you are, is one of the most brutal things you can experience as a human being. When people mischaracterize you, cast aspersions about you, and misjudge you, it's a nightmare. It is frustrating having to defend yourself, explain yourself, and fight for your right to be yourself. It can damage you mentally. There's a quote that captures this perfectly. Russian author Mikhail Lermontov said this in his book: "I was ready to love the whole world, but no one understood me, and I learned to hate." That's cold. That's real. It's the classic villain origin story. You never know how a person may react to being misunderstood. Most people don't take it very well. It's either they conform and lose their uniqueness, or they take it so personally, they become hateful. Some go as far as suicide. People like me are a miracle in that it's only the grace of God that I turned out the way I did. Confident and optimistic, blessed with thick skin to resist a lifetime of blows. It's only the grace of God that I found the information that helped me understand that I wasn't crazy, that it wasn't just me, that I wasn't alone, that people throw stones at things that shine. I read books that gave me the tea on how to be me. I was drawn to characters that at first were misunderstood by the majority, but decided to love instead of hate. No one embodies this more than Jesus Christ, who once said, "The stone that the builder rejected has become the cornerstone." He was clearly referring to himself. If you study the Gospels, you will find a theme of misunderstanding and rejection underscoring Jesus' life. You can imagine that this must have bothered him, but not once did he overreact or overexplain. His handling of being misunderstood gave me an example to follow and the grace to deal. It humbled me. It forced me to look inward, to not get discouraged. I took solace in the fact that one of the most remarkable people who ever lived was misunderstood for the same reasons as I. For being and saying who he was. And then come to find out that remarkable people throughout history have been misunderstood for similar reasons. Michael Jackson, Muhammad Ali, Kobe Bryant, Nelson Mandela, Cristiano Ronaldo, Victor Van Gogh, and co. Each of these individuals had remarkable confidence in themselves and had the gall to say what they were out loud. Jesus Christ called himself the Son of God. Cristiano Ronaldo called himself the best player. Muhammad Ali called himself the greatest. Speaking of Ali, did you know that he was the originator of the phrase greatest of all time, aka GOAT? Listen to Dave Chappelle tell it.
The phrase the GOAT was coined by Muhammad Ali. He referred to himself, I am the greatest of all time, which ultimately many would concede he was. This was a metric that was unheard of before him, and the brazenness.
Right, but he became the greatest of all time because of who he was as a man.
But whatever it was, he said it before the rest of the world agreed with him. There's a book I read years ago called The Ali Reader, and the book was basically every bad thing that the media said about him. When he wouldn't take that step for Vietnam, it was like, when you read it, the book is like this fucking thick of just fucking one slander after another. I know exactly what it's like. And reading that book helped me get through all the bullshit that I went through. I saw how this shit is weather. As I'm reading the book, I know that they're talking shit about a guy that was absolutely right. And they ultimately conceded that he was. And yet, the United States government, as Dick Gregory said, leaned their entire weight. 25-year-old kid. They deprive him of fighting in the prime of his career. And as good as he is, we'll never get to see the best work that he had inside of him because they wouldn't allow him to do it. And it was also brazen to say that about yourself in real time as you are making the legacy that you'll be remembered for. Like, trust me, I'm working on something. And when you see when it's finished, you will agree. I am the greatest of all time. It's very inspiring. It's a very remarkable thing that he did. And since then, in any genre, it's never been matched. Michael Jordan didn't have the gall to say he was the greatest of all time. LeBron never said it about himself, although it is said about him often. And this, for a black man, is damn near culturally illegal.
It never ceases to amaze me the lengths our society would go to humble a person who says who they are, who shines bright, who takes a stand. It is the riskiest thing. You see me do it, but it comes at a cost. Costs I can't even speak of at this moment in time. Not while the story is being told. Like I said, the world has no sympathy for winners. If you're worth something, they will try to reduce you to nothing. And it can be tempting to think, you know what? Maybe I should be less loud, less honest, more meek.
And see, and that's what you gotta resist. Whatever God says about you, and if you repeat it, it sounds very narcissistic. But whatever Satan says about you, and you repeat it, it sounds very realistic. And you have to decide, whoa, am I going to be real? Or am I going to do what God said?
That's it right there. Saying I am a God sounds unreal, but it made all the sense in the world to me. And the best thing I can do for the world is to be as God intended me to be. Because every time someone steps up and says who they are, the world becomes a better, more interesting place. We are the light of the world, yo. Look, I know how to play one instrument, and that's my horn. I will blow it and play it like it's going out of style. I also understand time and place. I know that not every situation requires me to blow. It's common sense to regulate your shine, but that is left to the discretion of the individual. Society has no right to decide for me or you when or how to play. Listen to this sequence between Dave Chappelle and Mos Def that captures this never-ending battle between modesty and braggadocio.
But the pound in your chest thing is, even Ali had to come on for that at some point.
Listen, the warrior celebrates the battles he wins.
But the biggest battle is with yourself. It's not with the.
That's correct.
It's the
but
within.
But that battle is private. If you on the battlefield, you don't look at your opponent and be like, I'm insecure about things.
No.
That's not it. And then you tell them all the dope shit you can do.
Look at me. What about me would make you think that I care about your opinion of me? Your opinion of me is not the opinion that I have of myself.
I won't lie. I care about people's opinion of me. I'm a sensitive guy, an artist, and being an artist requires a bizarre balance between not giving a fuck, and giving lots of fucks all at once. I believe I've mastered this balance.
Yeah, he does. I think he really does understand himself.
Let me put it that way. I feel like he does, but he's open to also learning.
Yes, that's the thing.
He's open-minded. Yes. So that's why, like, I'm just like, your ego day, but you dey use them. Like, I like how he's using it as a gear stick. Like, he's just changing it and using it. He's not, it doesn't
and that's the layer of him that people get to know when they know him.
Yes.
But on the outside, it doesn't seem that way. Because maybe you probably heard him on a limited platform. You didn't get to explore a little deeper what this nigga is talking about.
I've never been one to claim not to care what people think about me. It's not in my nature to ignore. Good or bad, friend or foe, I want to know. Especially if it's the latter. Because there's something very seductive about thinking that the people who don't like you must be foolish, malicious entities. To be fair, they can be. But that's just your ego. It's always good to entertain the possibility that maybe your haters see you clearer than less observant people and are having a valid reaction to what they see. If you're brave enough to entertain them, you might notice a flaw you weren't aware you were projecting. Now you have information. You can decide to do the work of recalibrating your behavior or double down until your haters shed hot tears.
Yes! Yes!
Sometimes people meet me in person and they admit their opinion of me to me, unprovoked. And I take it as an opportunity to clear the air so that we can both see where we're coming from. I come down to their level in order to bring them up to mine. Because all it is a misunderstanding. I know get problem. If I can get along with someone, why not? Life is generally easier if you get along with people, if you have goodwill. I don't thrive on having haters or drama. I strive to be one with all people because one with all is one with God. If God is your one and only desire, you will always be open to opportunities for reconciliation. You don't have to be liked by everyone, but you should at least be likable. Make it so that when people actually get to know you, they realize how off the mark they were. It's no longer a misunderstanding if the idea of you they have matches the reality of you. You're no longer misunderstood at that point. You're just an asshole. Seek help.
I have probably listened to maybe two or three of Rodney's podcasts. I have not really listened to his podcast. My experience of Rodney is Rodney himself.
Okay, that actually explains a lot.
Oh, yeah. Like, my experience of Rodney is Rodney himself. Me and Rodney hang, like, we are cool. We are cool, like, and we like, talk on the phone for hours sometimes. So, like, my experience of Rodney is Rodney himself. So, his podcast is conversations that we probably have had. Together, like
the way he delivers them
is
with one kind of energy.
There's this quote by Walt Whitman that says, "Be curious, not judgmental." All of you who mischaracterize me, not a single one of you is curious. You think you have everything all figured out, and so you project your limited ideas of how a person should talk, think, and be. What's even worse is that you decide who I am, and you don't even know who you are. Your misunderstanding of who I am has nothing to do with me. If you were curious, you would actually listen to what I am saying, not how I sound saying it. Hell, if you were curious, you would ask questions. You know, questions like, what do you mean by, I am a god? What makes you say that? Questions I would gladly answer, and you would have walked away a little wiser, with a better understanding of me, and most importantly, a better understanding of yourselves. Here's a tip. A great way to understand yourself is to seriously reflect on everything you find irritating in others. You might say that you are entitled to your opinion about me. No, you are not. You are entitled to your informed opinion. No one is entitled to being ignorant. If you think that what I say is true, agree with me. If not, oppose it with a better argument. There's no need to make it personal. I feel bad for you because your lack of curiosity isn't limited to me. It is who you are. You approach other aspects of life with the same closed mind. I can only imagine how basic your life experience must be. You probably have problems in your life that could be solved with a little curiosity that will never ever be solved. I hope you grow to accommodate the fact that a person can go against what society says is normal and still be good and worthy of the benefit of the doubt. I just want you to know that everything I do is genuine. There is no catch. At the end of the day, for me, I am what I am. For you, I am what you think of me. I can just assure you, if you think rationally, I can become what I am for you too. Besides, why are y'all hating when you could just be sexy?
Man, I got summer hating on me cause I'm hotter than the sun. Got spring hating on me cause I ain't never sprung. Winter hating on me cause I'm colder than y'all. And I would never fall. I'm being hated by the season. So fuck y'all, hating for no reason.
Please forgive me for interrupting your vibe right now, but I just had to shout out the legendary Young God community on WhatsApp. That is an exclusive group where committed, consistent listeners of the podcast gather to share their thoughts on the themes discussed. If you would like to connect with me and other members of this community, you can join the group via the link in the description of this episode or via any of the links on my social media at IamTheYoungGod on Twitter and at TheYoungGodPod on Instagram. Do follow, do subscribe, do leave a review if you're enjoying this episode, share with your friends and fam. And now let's get back to the show.
Don't you think that it's boring how people talk?
Like, I'm so proud of him. I'm so proud of how he's constantly looking for how to evolve. Do you get? He also takes, it's almost like he takes adversity as fuel and doesn't allow it get to him.
I have been understood, misunderstood, blocked, unblocked, followed, unfollowed, cancelled, hated, loved, you name it. But I have always been myself, and I have never been forgotten. That's a flex, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. This is my human experience, this is my story, and I've embraced it. Being different is a gift and a curse, but when you master it, you eventually get the gift without the curse. For starters, it's nice to stand out. It's nice to be able to clearly differentiate myself from others. I love that I can't be put in a box. You can't tell what tribe I am, my age, my account balance, who my father is, my religion, my sexuality, and where my head is at just looking at me. Except you're wise, curious, and perceptive. Most people aren't, so it gives me the advantage. I can be all things to all people. I love that I provoke different feelings in different people. Without ever saying a direct word to them, without any interaction, I take up space in their heads, rent free. A million home sellers couldn't find a real estate.
See what I did there? Real estate, goddamn.
That said, there's a price to pay for being different, for thinking different, for displaying your differentness. When people don't know what to make of you, what to do with you, opportunities get withheld, and you are denied a seat at the table. You'll be called all kinds of names: argumentative, cocky, arrogant, egotistic, narcissistic, difficult. I cannot overstate the emotional toll of existing in a world where your existence is treated like a disease. It's a brutal experience, but there's a lot of beauty in it. It's brutal, but beautiful. Because what makes you different makes you beautiful. It also makes you powerful. It's people like us that bring true change and progress. I'm here to tell you that you change the world by being yourself. You give others permission to be more themselves, more different. That's God. Now let us pray.
To the one who has created the all, you know us better than we know ourselves. And we know ourselves better than others know or pretend to know us. So pardon us for our shortcomings, whether they be known or unknown. Make us better than whatever they say, and do not make us responsible for whatever they say. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. If God is your one and only desire, you will not be easily upset when people misjudge you. Because what God builds, God sustains. If people build you, people can destroy you. And I don't mean God in the religious sense. I mean God in the real sense of having the right intentions, being authentic, just focusing on all that is good.
Baby, you understand me now.
If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Sometimes people think they know you. They know a few facts about you, and they piece you together in a way that makes sense to them. And if you don't know yourself very well, you might even believe that they are right. But the truth is, that isn't you. That isn't you at all. Every time you feel hurt, offended, or rejected, you have to dare to say to yourself, these feelings, strong as they may be, are not telling me the truth about myself. I mean, I am a different person to different people. Annoying to one, talented to another, quiet to a few, unknown to a lot. But who am I to me? As long as I know the answer to that question, all storms can be weathered. And that starts with having a healthy and high opinion of yourself. One of the best things to come out of this misunderstood experience for me is empathy. Because I've been misunderstood my whole life, I understand how it feels, and it has made me very accepting of the variety of flavors people come in, especially if I don't understand them. Accepting identities I don't understand is extremely easy because I just think to myself, this isn't about me, and move on with my life, unbothered. It's truly that simple. As I see it, to refuse the possibility of finding another person interesting, complex, and as complicated as oneself is a form of violence. Where most people choose violence, I choose emotional intelligence. Whenever I encounter someone who is going against the grain, who is a little odd, I make sure to give them their flowers, to encourage them. I give compliments freely. When I give compliments, I fully intend for it to get to your head. I want you to be filled with pride when you see yourself through my eyes. I have no desire to humble anyone. You're the fucking sun. Let your head swell. Move like you're God. After all, you're made in his image, isn't it?
And it's terrible to pretend to be something that you are not. It's worse to pretend to not be something that you actually are. And no matter how you shake it out, we are human beings. We are not machines. If we try to turn ourselves into machines, we end up giving up something that we really, really need. And that if we give it away too fast, you might not be able to get it back.
If you have never been misunderstood in your life, if you have been fortunate or unfortunate to fit in and not make public choices that ruffle feathers, I hope this episode is an exercise in empathy for you. Because it'd be people like you who have never dealt with those feelings that find it easy to judge. Thank you so much for listening. Whoever you are, wherever you are, I hope you enjoyed this episode half as much as I enjoyed making it for you. If you did, please consider making that donation. Link in the show notes. Either way, continue to shine, to sink deeper into your source, and turn the other cheek. As for me, my first job is to be myself, my second job is to be respectful, and my third job is to flex, to shine on everything. So help me God. And this is The Young God.
It's got tough.
Yes, sir. We have a call that we said to the side of the